Thank you. Thank you, Brother Portman. Thank you. Thank you. What number we have here? You guys hear me okay? Okay. I can't hear it up here very well. There we go. I believe I went to a Lutheran camp, and that's where God started to really tug on my heart, Brother Portman. And I believe tonight God's already spoken to some people that they are going to sponsor some young people to go to this camp, because I think it's an awesome thing. And I still remember things that happened at that camp. And so, how many of you have ever gone to like a gathering where they had food and you look things over and you're like, I don't like anything I see here? Someone and your plate's kind of empty. And then we've been to places where you can't put enough on. I mean, you're going back for seconds and thirds. And well, I believe the Word of God. I look out here and I look at young people. How many teenagers do we have? A bunch. See some over there. Even one older person thinks they're still a teen. I see people aged, are old warriors in the faith, and all ages in between. That's what always amazed me about the apostolic movement. When you go to the service, there was all ages represented. It's not like that in other faiths. But I say all that to say there is a table, I believe, it's God's will, that there's stuff for everybody, okay? If you're 12 years old, 13, there's a snack for you or a meal for you. If you just kind of try to lock in and pay attention, I believe there's something for you. If you're been here for 50 years, I believe there's a meal for you. I think one of the greatest lies is that God or the enemy of our soul tells us at a certain age, oh, you're done. You're useless at this point. You kidding me? You know how many battle scars and stories and how much faith is there in battles they've been through, and what a resource that we have. So please don't ever think that if you're an old warrior, okay? I'm going to mention the verse in a three-part question and a Bible quiz question, okay? And I think everyone, almost just about everybody in here, could answer this three-part question. And I'm not going to tell you the verse, but it is this: trust in who, with what, and lean not unto what. Look at that. You didn't even buzz in and you're yelling out. And that is our verse for tonight. If you would pray, I believe that God wants to minister to every age tonight. I believe he wants to minister to the brand new saint and someone that's been here for 60 years or longer. And then it doesn't matter who we are, that God has something for us. Would you ask God with me that could happen? Thank you, Lord. There's a meal here, Lord. I pray it's just full of delectables, that every teenagers would grab something, Lord, fill their plates up, that every one of us, Lord, could have something to chew on, something to digest, something to thoroughly enjoy, because it's your word. In Jesus' name we pray. You may be seated. If they could put that verse on the board, I don't know if you got that up and running or not. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It's one of my favorite verses. And it's not why I'm talking about it. It's the one that just couldn't get away from. In fact, I was getting a little nervous last night. And any of you that do teach or whatever, get notes together, speak, there's something, I'll call it writer's block, you know, where you just, nothing's there. Or worse yet, it's everything's there and there's no organization to it all. You got 500 two-minute one-liners to give out. And that's what it was. There was no direction, and then it just started to come together, and it was this verse. And I would like to put an imaginary meter up here, okay? I picture this meter, and right here is trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Boom. Over here, leaning onto our own understanding. So, and as we go through the day, or our life, it's in different places, isn't it? We all could grade our own report cards. It can change every moment. Think of that. You could be right here, full of faith. You could conquer, move mountains. Your prayer is amazing. And one text. Woo! We've all been there, right? Elijah, you know, the 400 prophets, and the next day he's asking God to take his life. So kind of keep in mind this meter, because what I kind of have is we're going to look at two examples of leaning on our own understanding biblically, and then two examples of trusting in the Lord with all our heart. And then we're going to wrap up by seeing how God took them from this point and miraculously brought them there. And there's dozens and hundreds of examples in the Bible, but I'm going to just share the couple with you. I think of the sister Mangan, I believe it was. It could have been someone else. And she's doing dishes, and the Lord prompts her, go out on your porch. Go out on your porch. And she didn't want to do it. And then finally she couldn't resist. She did it. And she wondered, okay, I'll just go out on the porch. And then real slow, a car drives by. And it was one of the people that was from her church. And later the man came to her and said, I was going to end my life. But I said something to the effect that God, nobody cares for me. Nobody loves me. And I'm not sure if you do either. But I'm going to just drive by the pastor's house one more time before I end it. And then I saw you out there. And I knew God loved me. And I knew you loved me. And that's absolutely being full of God, isn't it? It's trusting in the Lord. Because go out on my porch. That sounds pretty silly. Yesterday, me and my wife had a similar type thing happen to me. Sister Maureen might remember. From high school, I was really thankful because Brother Art and Brother Kevin Moran and Brother Art Hefner and Sister Maureen, we all went to the same high school. And us guys were all in the same class. And to see us come into the church, you know, within months of each other was amazing. And we were out to eat last night, and I had this prompt to go to the bathroom. Now, not like how you're thinking either. I didn't have to really go even. I was like, why do I want to go to the bathroom? You know? So anyways, I did. I got up, and I almost walked into someone I haven't seen in 33 years. And I stepped back, and she didn't recognize me at first. And then I said, hey, you remember? And I told Rhonda afterwards, I said, I really believe that there was timing of that. It was just supernatural. I really believe something's going to come of it. But I'm amazed at how we're prompted. We all are. We all have our stories. And it's a trusting in God. Most of the time it doesn't make sense. So let's take a look at leaning for a minute. I'm going to give two stories biblically of leaning. Now, this is a good one for the teenagers. Who's a teenager here? Did I get your attention? Okay. This is a really good one for you, okay? What was unique about this was these were people that had trusted in the Lord, but their end was leaning on their own understanding. So, unfortunately, not always the best ending, right? But we're going to finish with positive stuff. The first is Samson. Okay, you all know the story pretty much. You know, called of God and all of that. He does great exploits. He has great strength. He gives it away, right? He tells the secret of his strength to Delilah. But his mistake was what? You know, you ever think, what was his mistake? He didn't take his parents' counsel. So he kind of wanted, I'll change it to our time frame. He wanted a date out of the church, okay? She wasn't from the people of God. And so, but he knew better. He loved her. But against his parents' wishes, he just pushed and pushed and pushed. And what was kind of unique about this, I'm going to share a couple of verses here. And I like that verse is just sitting there, by the way. because that's where you're just going to come back to over and over, because that's what it comes down to. What his biggest failure was not listening to his parents, probably. I had compiled some verses before I organized this whole thing, and I'll share a verse with you that I find it quite fascinating that that's the one that happened to be in my list. It wasn't a lot of verses either. So what happens, Samson is finally gives away his strength and he's captured, right? And the Philistines make sport of him. And who remembers what they did to his eyes? Gouged him out. Can you imagine that? That'd be a horrible existence. So they poke out his eyes, and then they put him on this grinding mill thing in their stadium to make sport of him and make fun of him and mock him. He's chained to it, and you'd have to push this thing, and it just was a humiliating situation. And the Bible does put him in the hall of faith. So it appears he had a good end with God. But I don't believe it was God's will, because he leaned on his own understanding. I know better, Mom, Dad. I love this girl. You know, I can figure this thing out. But a sad thing is she betrayed him and then gave away his strength. And Judges 16:26, if you'd put that one up, he said, what did he say? Suffer me, that I may feel the pillars wherein thou standest, that I may lean on them. Interesting that he's leaning on it, isn't it? His ending was leaning. And the Bible says God gave him strength one more time, and he pushed those pillars, and there was a huge collapse, and thousands were killed. But it didn't have to be that way. interestingly enough, though, if you look at Proverbs 30:17, I just found, I had wrote this down before I even put this other part together. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17. I'll just pull it up here. There it is. The eye that mocketh at his father and the despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. Blind, just like Samson. And so let's not lean onto our own understanding. Let's trust in the Lord like Samson did in the beginning. Now, the second example I have is Saul. King Saul started great, hiding amongst the stuff. He was humble. For his coronation, they couldn't. Where is he? Oh man, he's off back behind that packaging back there. You know, get him out here. It's time to announce him. You know. Well, unfortunately, things crept into Saul's heart. One of which was jealousy of David. So much so they wanted to kill him. And the turning point seems to be in the scriptures when it said David has killed Frank. You know that one? David has killed, Saul has killed his thousands, but David, tens of thousands. Right? And it angered him, and jealousy enraged in him over David. And it led him down a path that was not good. So where Saul was, you know, trusting in the Lord with all his heart, he started to trust in his own understanding and allow those types of things to lead him. If we look at 2 Samuel 1:6, we see he ended leaning on something too. He was leaning on his own understanding, but unfortunately, he was leaning on a spear of which he impaled himself with because the enemy was coming, and he told his armor bearer, take me out, slay me. Unless they make sport of me. And he wouldn't do it. And then the Bible says he fell on it. And there's two accounts. You can read another account. They almost seem contradictory. But it appears he didn't kill himself. And so then an Amalekite ended up finishing him off. You know, we used to talk when we worked with youth. Who wants revival? How about you teenagers? You want to see revival? Yeah, you want to see new visitors and Right, yeah, and we would get that too. Yeah, let's have revival. Woo! New guys, girls, that's awesome. But then we asked a question, you know. We said, well, Miss Pretty Thing there, that's the prettiest girl in the youth group. Does it matter to you that all of a sudden you're not the prettiest anymore? Mr. Popular Guy, you're the number one guy in the whole youth group. Does it matter that, you know, you're not number one no more? You know, and we would see people give us kind of like, oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't think about that. But that was Saul's problem. He got focused on that. And we want to make sure that we're trusting in the Lord. Who cares where I stand, if I'm popular or not? You know, I just want God's will. Well, those are kind of negatives, aren't they? So let's look at the good ones now. And then we're going to look at how God takes us from leaning on our own understanding to transforming us and then lighting a flame, igniting us to trusting in Him. So there's many, many examples, but I love Gideon. Gideon was told by God, his dad had built an altar to Baal and groves. They were worshiping false idols, and the Lord instructed him to tear all this down. So that's a tough one right there, isn't it? I mean, going against tradition, against what your family believes, and the resistance you would get. And it's the Bible says he did it at nighttime because he feared the consequences. When morning came, they were enraged. Who did this? And so he had quite the battle going on, but he trusted in God with all his heart. And so finally, armies had come. It said as far, you know, as like the sand of the sea to come against Israel. And the Lord was going to use him as the general for this great battle. And so he gathered all the men that would come, and there were thousands. And basically, he whittled it down to a 300-man army. Oh, yeah, trust in the Lord with all my heart. This is going to go well. Well, most of you know the story. They took pitchers and lamps and horns and lights in these lamps, and they at night they came around and surrounded the enemy. And the Lord instructed them, break the pitchers and sound the horns and lit the lamps. And to all the enemy, they thought these were just, for every lamp there must be, you know, 100 guys, because that's their leader. And the Bible says they killed each other. And whoever was left fled, and then they just took care of them. But guess what? He trusted in the Lord with all his heart. Not a situation that I would feel very confident in. 300 guys against a multitude. The second example of trusting in the Lord with our whole heart is the man Christ Jesus. I always kind of feel when we get notes together and talk about the things of God that it all's got to come back to Jesus, the final kind of the wrap up. Because who has done anything better than him? I could talk about Saul and Peter and brother so-and-so and brother Cole did this and we experienced this, but in the end, there's none greater than Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came on the earth, he trusted God's will with his whole heart, the man Christ Jesus. I mean, think of it. False trial. Mockings. And then a brutal crucifixion. I mean, when we read, I was reading some of that last night or the other day, and it brought tears to my eyes, what he went through. How much pain, and he just stayed silent. And I'm not going to talk long tonight, but maybe what we could do with that little extra time is say, Lord, I want in on that. I want to be able to see my meter get this way more often and farther, trusting you in every situation. And I look around, and I love, sometimes in worship, I'll look around, and I'm just like, oh, there's Todd, man. Todd Graff came and bought some stuff that I had on like Craigslist or something. That's how we met. And next thing you know, I'm Bible study and he's in church. And at the same time, another brother's talking to his dad. And I look around, I look at Nick, and you guys are young and you're giving your strength to God. And Cody, I just look around and I'm just like so thankful. And I tell people and I tell myself that I am amongst the greatest people on the face of the earth. You guys are greater than my natural family, and I love them. But I can trust the people in this building. I can know that your motives are good and that you love God. And I look at the man Christ Jesus, and I know that he had this plan to go to that cross. And in Matthew 36:39, if you'd put that up, please. Even his flesh here was shown. We know he never sinned, but we see his flesh crying out in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. When Jesus is praying in the garden, he says, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." So here's Jesus like, is there a plan B here maybe? I know what's going to happen, and I don't like it. And then he says, nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. So Jesus, the man Christ Jesus, had to trust in the Father, trust in the Lord with all his heart, that all of this was going to work out for the good. We kind of have a little saying we say. It's going to work out. Things are going to work out. And really, that's the truth of the matter. If we just stick with God, it's all going to work out. How many of us have been through some pretty rough stuff? I mean, probably every one of us. Horrible things, devastating things. But you know, if we just stick with the Lord, it's going to work out. Let's trust in the Lord with all our heart. And I can't even imagine what Jesus went through for us. The last part I want to talk to you about is that transformation from leaning onto our own understanding to just trusting God with everything. And I find it interesting because the story after the Bible is what this is. It displays this example really well. After Jesus died, it's crazy where we see his disciples. Peter, I'll die for you, Jesus. He's hiding. He denies them 3 times. They're hiding in some place, right? And do you get it? I get it. I get it because they crucified our leader. What would they do to me? They knew I hung around with Jesus. I'm next. I think a lot of us would be in the same place. I think understanding the culture of the times might help explain where these guys were. Could you imagine if, fill in the blank, say China took us over? Let's say our governor was a Chinese man, our president was Chinese or Russian, fill in the blank, doesn't matter. I'm not picking on any culture. But it wasn't us. We weren't America anymore. But they let Americans be under rulers that we could kind of, you know, as long as we did what they said. And they started getting brutal with us. And they would cheat us on taxes. And they would take our children maybe sometimes. Or they would do dastardly deeds to our families. This kind of stuff happened with Rome. We would want them out. And now we hear our Messiah's coming. Our Savior is coming to America. Oh, yes. And it's him. I've seen them. This has definitely got to be him. It's Jesus. All the verses I read, it's Jesus. He is our Savior. I can't wait till he kicks these Romans out. I can't wait till he kicks the Russians out, Chinese, whoever it is, because he's obviously going to do it. He will not tolerate this type of conduct from the leaders of our nation. And a lot of the Jewish people believe that. So when Jesus was dead, it shook them. What? But Jesus tried to tell them, my kingdom is not of this world. It's hope, love, joy, peace, and the Holy Ghost. It's a spiritual kingdom. And even though he told them straight up, he told them, the third day, I'm coming back. They didn't go through. So these guys, after Jesus was crucified, they were leaning on their own understanding, big time. That I don't know if any of them had much faith. They just were in survival mode at that point, hiding in a building, trying to keep from the Romans from spotting them. And that's why Peter denied him. You were with him, weren't you? Oh, no, 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 no. You know, I swear. And he apparently swore, too. But he probably feared being crucified. And so Jesus knew they would be at this stage. And it's interesting, and there's many other examples of it. But this is really where we live, right here. We live in that place where sometimes our own understanding makes the most sense. But God's trying to get us over here to trusting in him. And I'd like to look at Luke 24:11. He'd already appeared to some folks, but this particular example, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not, referring to just all of what happened with Jesus now. Yeah, he was this great healer, all this great stuff happened, but he's gone now. It's over. It's kind of like a tale. And the two men were walking, just recollecting the whole situation. Can you believe Jesus, you know, the things he did, and you know, and I can't believe it. He's dead. How could he die? I mean, I saw him heal a guy. I saw a paralyzed man walk. And that boy, I watched him when he was born, and I seen him his whole life. He never walked once. When Jesus touched him, he walked. And yet, he's gone. So they hadn't received that revelation or that understanding, where they're leaning on their own understanding. God was going to bring them to a place of great faith soon. And this chapter shows an example of that. And I believe God wants to replicate that in our lives over and over again and to a high degree. In verse 17 of that chapter, Jesus joins them, unbeknownst to them. He says, what manner of communication are these that you have one another as you walk and are sad? I mean, obviously, he knows everything that's been going on. And they don't know it's him. And then the whole time he's talking with them. And in verse 27, and you can read this, it's pretty interesting. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounds unto them the scriptures and the things concerning himself. So he put it all together and explained it all. Because there's no way to explain. We can look back at it and say, oh, yeah, oh, total sense. Jesus dies. We get forgiven. Wow, a horrible way to have, you know, it's horrible, but what a wonderful thing. The Bible says the devils, I believe, in fact, they at some point knew and they couldn't stop it from happening. Because they stirred the people up so much to kill him. They hated him. But it would be like God to do that. To the devil, get the ball rolling one course and realize, oh no, it's going the wrong way. I got to stop this train. That train wasn't stopping. And Jesus knew it. And then in verse 30. So they invited Jesus to their house. This guy really knows his Bible, man. And boy, I feel something when I talk to him. There's an anointing and a power in him. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And this is the moment, this is the time where he took them from here to there. And I wondered as I read this, can God just keep doing this to us, you know, do it in our lives? And so tonight, maybe you feel, boy, I've been leaning on my own understanding. I know it's very simple to do. I do it. Everybody probably does it. Where you just start reasoning things through and God just saying, forget all that. Trust in me. You're worrying about things that you have no way to change, even if you could. So verse 31, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened up to us the scriptures? Jesus lighted a fire on that road. He started to light a fire of trust in their heart. So they were leaning on their own understanding, trying to figure everything out. Why he died, why this, why is Rome still, blah, 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 blah. And then Jesus just nullified it all. And we know now, they didn't know at the time, we know why he did it and why he had to do it that way. And what a great God that we have. Amen. What an awesome God that we have. I pray. I look at such great faith. I look at some young people out here, and I'm done, that I just see a wonderful future. But any of us that have been around know there's going to be some disappointments come down the road. There's going to be some great trials. There's going to be things that will tempt you to just, you know what, I got a better plan. But I pray that somehow, some way, that you put it in your heart that I am not going to forsake the ways of God. I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. You know, I did one really good thing. I did a lot of dumb things as a young person. I will not share them. Okay. My wife's probably like, oh, good. But one good thing I did in high school, I was not in the church at the time, but there was a certain type of drug I told myself I will never, under any circumstance, entertain using that drug. Because I heard of the horrifying stories that of people that tried it once and where they ended up. And I say this for a reason, so listen, please, especially if you're a teenager. And sure enough, the day came when someone offered me that drug for free. And see, that's how they do it, folks, because they want to get you hooked. And once you're hooked, then you're paying. But I had already won that battle long before, because I had already determined I will not do it. So when that temptation hits you, you're not stunned. Oh, well, yeah, oh, I guess so. No, it was just, no, sorry, no thanks. And I say that to say, can we establish some things in our heart tonight that no matter what, I am going to stick with you, Jesus. I'm going to serve you. I told him when I came in, I said, God, if I would just stay faithful, I believe you'll deliver me from everything that comes my way. If I can just get my body to church, get in there and worship, to love you and to give and to do the things I know I need to do, I believe you'll deliver me. It may take a while, but you'll send me the message, you'll send me deliverance, you'll send me the healing that I can be in your kingdom. And that's what counts, folks. So you may stand if the musicians want to come. Thank you. I love all of you. I pray that we could all trust God. And more and more, because it's a powerful body right here of beautiful, humble people that I am so thankful to be part of. And I thank you, and I thank our pastors. I love them. I don't know if one of them wants to come. Well, we're going to open this altar then. If you would come right now, if you would tell the Lord, if you need, it's all right to tell him that you need help. I'm going to tell you one more thing as you're coming. Please don't let me distract you. I remember a special speaker came one time. It doesn't happen often, but they said to me, they started to prophesy to me and speak some things, and they were truthful. And the final thing he said was, stop it. God just simply told me to stop it. And I said, wow, that's pretty simple. But I told God this. I said, God, I know you're right. I know that everything this man said is right. And I know stopping it is the answer. But I said to him, I can't do it without your help. And so tonight, if you need God's help, you're in the perfect place. Just ask him. He will help you.